This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. The U.S. economy slowed in the January through March quarter to the weakest pace of the year. Correspondent Jeremy House has the details.
The Commerce Department says the gross domestic product, the broadest measure of economic output, grew at an annual rate of 0.8% in the first quarter. It was slightly better than the 0.5% first estimated due to less drag from business investment and trade and more of a boost from housing.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. President Obama has paid his respects to the 140,000 people killed when the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima 71 years ago. The president said it's an historic event.
This is an opportunity to honor the memory of all who were lost during World War II.
But SR News military contributor, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, believes the president made a poor choice.
The Prime Minister of Japan is a nationalist. He is associated with ultra-nationalists who want to and are rewriting the history books that are taught in Japanese schools. And they are trying to, soften, eliminate to a certain degree, their own troubled history that led to World War II.
McGinnis says this is one trip the president should not have made. Although gas prices in this country are back above $2 a gallon on average in most locations, it could still be the summer of the road trip. In fact, AAA expects this to be the second busiest Memorial Day in terms of car travel ever recorded. Tamara Johnson with AAA says there are times to try and avoid the highways if you want to stay out of traffic jams.
Especially if you're in a major city, you want to make sure that you're avoiding those peak travel times, which will be the afternoons on Friday and the afternoon on Monday.
AAA says more than 33 million people will drive for vacation over this Memorial Day weekend. The Energy Department, meanwhile, recently raised its forecast for summer gas prices to an average of $2.21 a gallon, up from what had been $2.04. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Be one of a million people filling the National Mall for Jesus at Together 2016. On Saturday, July 16th, unite in Washington, D.C. with Hillsong United, Passion, Francis Chan, Lecrae, Carrie Joe, Michael W. Smith, Nick Hall, Christine Kane, and many more who believe Jesus changes everything. Go to reset2016.com and say you're going. Sign up, show up, fill the mall.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
A bipartisan bill on mental health reform is slowly making its way to the Senate floor. We get more from correspondent Linda Kenyon.
The bill authorizes grants to integrate physical and mental health services. It also seeks to strengthen mental health parity laws that require insurance companies to cover mental health services just as they cover other health services. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's willing to put the bill on the floor, but only if there's a consensus that it won't use up too much valuable floor time. In addition, an amendment by Republican John Cornyn of Texas could slow things down. He wants to include gun-related language from his own mental health bill. Democrats object to that, saying the Cornyn measure would make it easier for the mentally ill to get access to guns.
That is Linda Kenyon reporting. A woman choking on food at a senior center in Cincinnati can be thankful that one of her fellow residents there is none other than Dr. Henry Heimlich. He is the very surgeon who is credited with developing the famous Heimlich maneuver. More on these stories, townhall.com. Most polls show Bernie Sanders is the overwhelming favorite among millennial voters, voters between the ages of 18 and 35, but some of those young voters are taking a serious look at Donald Trump. Millennial voting expert Kai Kawashima-Ginsburg with Tufts University says that Trump's message is resonating with some.
They are the generation that did everything right, like going to college and getting training, and when they graduated, there were no jobs waiting.
25% of folks under the age of 30 at a Harvard Institute of Politics poll say they would vote for Trump if he faced off against Hillary Clinton in the fall. Authorities say a driver trying to make a getaway sped down a busy New York City sidewalk yesterday, hitting a 9-year-old boy. The child's injuries were not serious, thankfully. Video shows Brooklyn shopkeepers running after the car and throwing trash cans, trying to stop the driver as pedestrians fled. One person is in police custody, a second still being sought. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound?
This is Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. We come to you every day, Monday through Friday, 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. It's always good to have you along with us. We got a real treat for you and an honor to have with us a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. Do I say winner recipient? I think is the most appropriate term. Clint Romiche is with us. He's just released a book, Red Platoon, A True Story of American Valor, the unflinching firsthand account of the 14-hour firefight at the Battle of Cop Keating. And the former staff sergeant, Clinton Romiche, enlisted in the Army back in 1999. He deployed twice in Iraq in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom and once to Afghanistan in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. At the time of the deadly attack on combat outposts, which you call Cop Keating, on October the 3rd, 2009, Staff Sergeant Romiche was assigned as a section leader for Bravo Troop 361st Cavalry, 4th Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division. Ironically, he would be serving in an infantry division that that your father was part of way back when. Is that correct, Clint?
Yes, Bill. Appreciate you for having me on today. But yeah, Dad had served with the 4th Infantry on his tours in Vietnam.
And then your grandfather, I mean, you have quite a heritage of family that has fought for our freedoms and supported what we believe here in the United States. In fact, I think I was reading about your grandfather who was at the Battle of the Bulge. My father was at the Battle of the Bulge as a medic as well. So we have a little bit of connection here. And you had three brothers in the service. I was the third of three that served during Vietnam as well, although I served stateside. But your story, Clint, is just unbelievable. And it's not only your story, but it's the story of the men there, what, the 52 men that were there that day on October the 3rd, 2009, right?
Yeah, it's very much their story, not mine. And that's what really went into writing the book is capturing those perspectives of the guys I have serving right along there with me that day. I mean, after receiving the medal, I get some of the spotlight and the attention. But if it truly wasn't for those 52 other Americans, I wouldn't be here today. And if it wasn't for those 8 great men that gave up more than anything that could be asked of them, I wouldn't be here. And that's just the fact of the matter. And I hope that doing this book really opens the eyes and the hearts of people that when they read it, they can kind of hopefully get a little sliver of understanding of what goes in to the service and sacrifice of keeping this country a free and proud nation.
Clint, there's so much about your character that's exposed in this book, not to mention your gift as a writer. The way you told the story is so compelling. Oftentimes I couldn't help but feel I was there with you as the bombs were, you know, being released there, you know, from, you know, whether it was the helicopter or what you called the, what was it, the bone?
The B-1 bomber, the bone,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, which it was amazing. And, you know, we've heard about it. I've never experienced it firsthand, but, you know, we've heard stories before about the concussive impact that the bombs could have. But here you were in a situation where you had to have them lay bombs as close as possible, and you could just hope and pray that it wasn't too close, right?
You know, and that's just a test of great men I served with, like Lieutenant Bunderman, who, you know, had made that decision knowing that the times were so dire, but to have such amazing leadership skills to sit there and take that risk, to understand that risk was well worth the reward, because without bringing that indirect fire and that close air support that close to us and helping to repel the enemy from being in the wire and right on top of it, that, you know, if he didn't make that decision, we surely would have been way worse off than what we were.
Well, let's strategically look at Camp Keating. You know, your rallying cry, I guess, so to speak, or maybe the motto for the camp was, it doesn't get better, because sometimes you find yourself in situations that you may not understand, but you're there and you're making the best of a situation. Because as I was reading your story here in Red Plate, tune, you go, well, yeah, why this outpost? You're so strategically disadvantaged. You're far away from support. And, you know, and it didn't seem like there was a clear strategic advantage for you being there other than being a target for the Taliban and anybody else that wanted to come and torment you.
You know, that was, I got to see that kind of attitude that you see time and time again in our servicemen and women, that you can put them in pretty dire situations and understand that when these great people serve, that, you know, they give up that right. You know, that's the freedoms they sacrifice to go and protect this country, is the ability to sit there and say, hey, look, this doesn't make entirely too much sense. And to understand, you know, I don't know what the decision-making process at the four-star general level. That's not my lane. My lane was a staff sergeant and a cab platoon, and my influence was over those guys. And to have that attitude and mentality of, you know, certain things will be out of your control in the military, but if you sit there and you spin your tires and you just get negative with the situation you're in instead of flipping it around and understanding we're going to make today the best day possible so it can never get better.
Exactly.
Because it's the best it can ever be is such a beautiful thing to witness, even in the most dire of times.
Well, here you are. I mean, again, you're in the low ground, right? I mean, because right above the Taliban, and this is why you mentioned in the book that, you know, the almost like the daily routine wake-up call was, you know, fire coming into the camp, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could almost say your alarm. off the Taliban's AK-47s coming in, it really wasn't uncommon. That was kind of their practice, and you got used to it. And leading up to it, you know, that helped, you know, give us the perspective of those who would sit there late at night with Gallegos and Kirk and Bunderman game planning, you know, if we were going to attack ourselves, how would we do it?
Exactly.
And then we'd use what we discussed to say, look, we make an adjustment here. If we change our standard operating procedure on a reaction drill over here to the front gate, you know, we constantly got to keep them on their toes because of that prior game planning and that great leadership and experience of coming together and sharing it. Like I said, not getting muddled down in the negative stuff of it, but let's look what we can do to improve.
Now, Clint, how long were you there at Camp Keating before that fateful day of October 3rd?
We were going on just around the three-month mark by the time October 3rd had happened. I had gotten word that, you know, we were closing that outpost down in just a couple more weeks. You know, we'd supported the elections that went on that summer, and then with the firefight of recapturing the village of Barge Bolt to all the north of us, had kind of moved the timeline to close it earlier. But unfortunately, the Taliban had even a tighter timeline on us on exiling out of there.
Was there any intel at all to give you any indication that October 3rd was going to be the day, or any kind of warning, or was just all, you know, kind of a sense of gut that something foreboding was just around the corner?
You know, from the very first day, the very first night we stepped foot on ground, I mean, every report we had coming in, this outpost is, we've got human intelligence, radio transmission intelligence, that you're going to get attacked between 50 and 150 fighters, and that report came in on a daily basis.
Well,
and
hey, Clint, we got to go to break. We'll pick it up, you know, from this point here on the other side of the break. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you, and we're talking with Clint Romachet, Medal of Honor recipient. His book, Red Platoon. More from Clint.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Small business owners across the country value a job candidate's skill above all else when hiring. According to the Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, nearly half of entrepreneurs say that skill level is the most important factor when selecting a potential candidate, followed by fit with the company culture and previous experience. Furthermore, only 3% say education level is the most important factor when hiring. In fact, 2/5 of small business owners say a college degree isn't important. Instead, entrepreneurs are looking for characteristics such as work ethic and trustworthiness. Steve Strauss, small business expert and USA Today columnist, discusses the findings.
While a college degree is traditionally seen as a door opener for job seekers, fundamental skills and characteristics that ensure a job well done are at the core of what small businesses need. This isn't to say that advanced education is invaluable, but it's how you apply and translate that knowledge into results that matters most.
For more information, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care, as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Here's Dr. Paul Meyer, Christian psychiatrist, author of 85 books, and founder of the national chain Meyer Clinics, to tell you about To Your Health liquid vitamins.
I've been taking these every day for over a decade now, and I try to encourage every one of my clients to take them every day. And there's a number of reasons. First of all, it's the best vitamins you can get. It's got dozens of vitamins, antioxidants, and nutrients in it. And then the most important reason why I do it as a psychiatrist and recommend it to my patients is because it's got brain food in it. It's got the essential amino acids. It's got tryptophan, phenylalanine, tyrosine, choline, vitamin B6, and these chemicals that are all natural from food turn into the brain chemicals that make you happy.
To Your Health is delicious. Find out more today. Call us 800-801-3459 or visit online at mytoyourhealth.com. Use the coupon code RADIO15 for a 15% discount on your order. That's mytoyourhealth.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Getting America back on track.
It's a lie!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Our conversation continues with Medal of Honor recipient Clinton Romichet. His book, Red Platoon, A True Story of American Valor. Clinton writes, "It doesn't get better." To us, that phrase nailed one of the essential truths, maybe even the essential truth, about being stuck at an outpost whose strategic and tactical vulnerabilities were so glaringly obvious to every soldier who had ever set foot in that place that the name itself, Keating, had become a kind of a backhanded joke. In 2009, Clinton Romichet of Red Platoon and the rest of Black Knight Troop were preparing to shut down Command Outpost Cop Keating and the most remote and inaccessible in a string of bases built by the U.S. military in Nuristan and Kunar in the hope of preventing Taliban insurgents from moving freely back and forth between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Clinton, I wanted to pick up where we left off. So every day you're being warned. Intel is coming in saying you're going to get attacked by 50, 60 Taliban. But on October 3rd, it was many more than that. They decided they had enough with the U.S. presence there in their backyard, and they were going to take you off the face of the map, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that report came in for almost 3 months straight. So when October 3rd kicked off that morning and they showed up with about 300 fighters. You know, it was one of those things waking up. You know, I was still racked out of sleep when I heard the first shots coming in. It's normally, you know, like I said, it was kind of like an alarm clock, but that morning waking up and hearing the amount of fire with the machine guns, the RPGs, or coilless rifle mortars, and you could hear more was coming in than going out. And just, I mean, knew in the gut that this is not something that's going to be a normal day. This is going to be something different. Didn't quite know exactly at that moment, but you just knew.
Well, and that began a 14-hour firefight at the battle for the command outpost of Keating. And, you know, what transpired in those next 14 hours? The heroism, like you say, a sense of I don't know, what do you want to call it, brotherhood? A sense of team, you know?
It's a sense of love like I've never seen before. I watched my men I served with that day. You know, we weren't doing it out of anger to kill the enemy. Everything that was going on that day was out of love to save each other.
Well, you know, and for you to talk openly, my brother, my second oldest brother, was on the front lines in Vietnam as a field radio officer, and this was a tough deal and very hard for him to talk about. Even my dad, after World War II, and came in most combat. Heroes and people who have been in combat are very reticent to talk about this. And I got to tell you, Clint, that it's an honor to hear your story from you. And I think it's important because so few of Americans serve in the military today. I think it's, after all said and done, probably less than 3%. And of those, maybe 1% actually find themselves in a situation like what you found yourself in, where you are in a combat situation. Yours even more so extraordinary, and we're probably talking less than even 1% of that 1% again to be in a 14-hour firefight. But, you know, as you say, this gives you a sense of honor that's indescribable, a sense of respect and love for the men that fought with you, the men that paid the ultimate sacrifice. And, you know, it really ties you into the woof and warp in a very deep and personal way about the values and the freedoms of America that we enjoy. And because of the things that you and the men there on that day, October the 3rd, and many other days who have fought for our freedoms, I don't know how to express to you and to others how significant this is and how we perceive it to be that we not take our freedoms for granted.
No, absolutely. I mean, part of doing the book is understanding that right now, the current service level is less than one half of 1% in this country. And it is very difficult as veterans to sit there and share. I mean, my father, like I said, going over to Vietnam, I knew he had went, but we never talked about anything he had ever done or seen or heard over there until I came back from my first deployment in combat. And it's something that it is difficult to sit there and try to talk to a non-veteran that doesn't quite know. And it's one of those unspoken languages that it's more about the words not getting said than the ones that are. But by doing Red Platoon, with the understanding that, you know, it's that 99.5% that truly sometimes take for granted what the burden of that 0.5% is bearing for them. And if we as veterans don't explain that and don't pass that on to the next generation, that history of service and sacrifice will be easily forgotten.
Exactly. And along with that is the reason why. You know, why you stepped up, yes, to, you know, help one another and you know, protect each of the brothers that were there on that incredible day. But even grander is the, you know, that you've got a family back home that you want them to be free. And, you know, imagine what this world would be like without an America.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Reagan said it best when he talked about, you know, we are just one generation away from losing our freedom. It's not passed to our children in our blood. It's something that they have to be exposed to and understand, and we've got to convey that history of service and sacrifice. And, you know, I grew up, my father, you know, I didn't have to be in the military to be a member of the Romichet family, but it was always in courage of service, and service comes from more than just wearing a uniform at times.
Exactly.
But we definitely, as a society, got to give back to make sure that this country remains a free place to raise and grow up and not live under the banner of tyranny.
Clint, as you're going through this 14-hour firefight, I imagine it was an incredible roller coaster ride of emotions, and probably, you know, some fateful emotions set in where you think, you know, how are we going to survive this? I mean, you even go out and you're determined to collect the bodies. You didn't want the Taliban to collect any of your fallen brothers, and at risk, you guys go out and retrieve the bodies of the fallen soldiers, which is, you know, most incredible in and of itself. But having gone through all those emotions where you think that maybe this is it, you know, this is it, and then you get to that point where you think, hey, we're going to survive this. What was it like for you going through those emotions?
You know, the day was, I mean, just a chaos of everything going on. And as I look back going through it, you know, I really wasn't scared what was ever going to happen to me. Really didn't care. It was, I was scared just beyond belief of what was happening to the guys around me. Knowing that Gallegos and those guys up at that Humvee were isolated and stuck and cut off. And we had to do everything in our power to go get them, because if the roles were reversed, Gallegos was going to come get me. Mm-hmm. And that was the motivation. It wasn't a fear of myself. It was a fear of what was going to happen to them, and the understanding that the worst thing is to know that you've lost one of your own, and even more scary is to know that they might be in the hands of the enemy. And there's no sacrifice that will ever be too great to make sure that never happens. You give it everything you've got, because you know they do the exact same for you. And that's that just sense of loyalty and duty and love for each other that there's no other military, no other enemy, no other occupation in the world that portrays it like the military does.
Clinton, what's the big takeaway for America and for the fighting soldier today from this experience, the way you see it?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway for the American people is an understanding of, you know, and we send our boys and gals over to go fight these things. We've got to be fully committed 100%, all or nothing, and we give them everything to be successful. For the soldiers that are over there doing it, to understand that they're around the best people in the world. the camaraderie you make is like no other. And you know when push comes to shove that you've got someone that's got your back through thick and thin no matter what.
Well, Clinton Robichaud has been with us, Medal of Honor recipient. Clinton, thank you very much for the book and the story. I mean, you're gifted on so many levels. I mean, here you were, a former staff sergeant and writing a book like this, and the way you relayed the story and the way you honored the men and your, you know, your platoon of what happened on that fateful day of October 3rd, 2009 at Combat Outpost Keating. We thank you for Red Platoon, a true story of American valor.
Can carpet stand up to wine, chocolate, and even bleach? Life-proof carpet from the Home Depot can. And right now, you can get free installation on any carpet, including life-proof. That's the carpet, the pad, and the installation. This is the next generation of carpet. Visit your local Home Depot store to schedule a measure today. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid on basic installation through July 27th. Minimum $500 purchase of carpet and pad, U.S. only. Can carpet stand up to wine, chocolate, and even bleach? Life-proof carpet from the Home Depot can. And right now, you can get free installation on any carpet, including life-proof. That's the carpet, the pad, and the installation. This is the next generation of carpet. Visit your local Home Depot store to schedule a measure today. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid on basic installation through July 27th. Minimum $500 purchase of carpet and pad, U.S. only.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-9582. I used to be so broke, I had my electricity shut off 9 times. But I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-9582. 1-800-959-9582.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the foods your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
Love me, loves all you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections.
Bill Martinez
Live. Hey, just the way you like me, live and fresh every day, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to be in the running for those free DVD Blu-rays of the movie Risen, you know, among the top 10 most successful faith-based movies at the box office, available free. All you got to do is send me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Say, Martinez, count me in. I want to be in the running, okay? And who knows? You could be having your very own copy of Risen before it comes out, which is going to be officially released on May the 24th. Well, we have with us the editor-in-chief of conservative political site Opportunity Lives, John Hart, who wants to remind us that times aren't as bad as they may seem. You know, we were talking talking about that earlier with Kate Obenshain and others, even with James Hurston. I think, you know, people are freaking out, you know, as I'm traveling across the country. It's like they're waking up from this slumber and going, what happened to America? Well, John is here to encourage us because he tells us with over 20 years of experience in politics and public policy, the politically conservative editor says, there is still hope in this age of Trump. John Hart, always good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, we need some encouragement, buddy. I'm telling you, people are, you know, kind of unhinging here. It's almost like we've been in a stupor and we're waking up and go, what happened to our America?
Yeah, you know, Bill, I think there are quite a few things, I think, to point to. You know, and I'll preface this by saying, like, I'm not a Trump fan at all. You know, I would, mm-hmm. I would love to see a third-party independent candidate, in fact. But even in spite of that, there are some trends that I think are really encouraging. And the first one is the rise of America's new elites, you know, which are we the people. So the framing and narrative of this election has been the outsiders versus the establishment. And that's been a convenient storyline for politicians who want to appeal to voters who are frustrated with the status quo. But they've really mischaracterized the power relationship, I think, between individual Americans and the institutions of government. And the reality is, and look, I've lived through this where, you know, in the 90s and 2000s when I worked for Tom Coburn, mm-hmm. you know, he went after the earmark process. And we actually succeeded in getting rid of earmarks. And it was because of the rise of the blogosphere, social media, technology. So there's been a big shift in power from centralized institutions to individuals. And that's been true not just in the United States, but all throughout Europe and the UK, the Arab Spring. It hasn't always produced immediately fantastic results. But we're at a point in our history where, you know, arguably we have the most democratic society we've ever had. And so the question is, well, what are we going to do with that? And then, you know, that leads to this question of what does it mean to be a good citizen in 21st century America? And how do we have a really constructive debate? You know, and I would argue that we need to have a, quote, civil war where you argue civilly about differences of opinion. And that's the entire purpose of our First Amendment, you know, is to let true and false ideas grapple, because whoever mm-hmm. knew truth to be pinned by falsity in a free yes. enough of exchange. So we have the tools of technology. We've got the political culture to do that. We have to just engage and elevate a debate about what works. And another sign, you know, kind of hope is, I think the right kind of got off track really in the past 5 or 6 years after the Tea Party, and I'm a big Tea Party guy. I love what the mm-hmm. Tea Party's done.
Right.
And we embraced kind of this conservative Phariseeism where we elevated the appearance of purity but not the practice of it, where people were applauded for taking, quote, tough stands but didn't actually have a plan to limit government effectively.
Exactly.
And that's very corrosive, because what that does is it just makes people more upset. And in some ways that led to the rise of Trump, because you had, you know, showdowns like the government shutdown that I thought was not a smart strategy, where Ted Cruz said, if we only stand firm, we'll be able to get rid of Obamacare. Well, that was not true. He was really criticizing the system of government our founders created. And where change is only possible incrementally most of the time, and politicians don't like to say that. They don't like to be seen as, quote, selling out. But there's nothing cowardly about acknowledging the power dynamic within D.C. when you have a president whose signature achievement, you know, is not going to be, you know, he's just not going to agree to get rid of it.
Right, exactly.
67 votes in the Senate. So just acknowledging that doesn't make you cowardly. It makes you a good general. It makes you, you know, like in the Pacific, you know, it would be like arguing that we should have invaded mainland Japan instead of doing an island hopping strategy. Well, there was nothing cowardly at all about what our soldiers did in the Pacific, I can tell you, where we went island by island and won that war. And that's what we have to do in terms of our country and our freedoms, is fight these battles, you know, one by one.
Right. So, well, part of go ahead, John.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say relative. Okay. Well, I was going to say relative to the, you know, Tea Party, because I too have, you know, a lot of agreement with the Tea Party. But I think that when history looks back, we're going to see that the IRS really complicated things. And they also invited the rise to Donald Trump because of what they did in the background and how they got away with it, what Lois Lerner was able to do. And, you know, supported by this administration, by the judiciary that said, you know, they were not complicit. That somehow their hands were clean, you know, and I mean, you know, as you say, all this falsity that has been, you know, undergirded and has been something that we've been bathing in for, you know, for too long. You know, people are, you know, are fed up with this, and they go, right. Okay, let's find out. Let's find out what the truth is. Let's do some hard work. Let's confront these issues. And I agree. I see the rise of We the People. We hear this time and time again. And I think maybe one of the opportunities, and, of course, your old boss, Tom Coburn, he'd be great to have on this particular project, and that is that you know, in much the same way, you say, you look back and say, well, America got started with a revolution. And, you know, one of the things that was part of that revolution was they had to declare the grievances that they had with the existing government. And I believe we the people need to come together and articulate what our grievances are. Spell it out, not only for our government, but for the rest of the world to know that, hey, look at, you know, this is a country that was established of, for, and by we the people, not by by and for the elites and the political rulers. Class, and we need to take this country back and clearly stipulate what our grievances are with this form of government. And if we need to put them on timeout, then let's put them on timeout and let's get people in there who are serious about the people's business.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, the IRS issue is one that, if anything, we're not talking about that enough, because it's an issue that gets at the freedoms of all Americans, not just Tea Party people. Because when you have, you know, one faction of government that has power, using the power of the state as a tool of political persecution, that should enrage anyone who loves freedom and liberty. It doesn't matter what party you're in, what side you're on. And that's the kind of issue that I think we need to be elevating over and over again. And Trump, I don't think, you know, my issue with Trump is he doesn't have a real agenda or plan. I mean, there's no there. I think what the country really wants, I think what people are clamoring for, is someone to first be a disruptor, to disrupt the status quo and where things are, and that's perfectly rational, actually. Mm-hmm. And then the second, but you have to follow that up with somebody who's a constructor, somebody who's a builder.
Yeah, where are we going? Where are we going?
A worldview and a vision. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Where's the vision? Where are we going? Exactly. No, you're exactly right, and that's what we've been saying on this show, is that we're looking for that voice that says, okay, this is what we got, and here's what you're going to get. You know, it's the same thing like with Obamacare. The Republicans have been chewing on this, and they've been talking about repealing it all these years.
Yeah.
But what are you replacing it with? You know, give us a vision, a forecast of what it's going to be replaced with. Because the fact of the matter is the people have gotten used to this, at least the concept of a national health care plan.
Yeah. Well, Coburn has a plan, so does Paul Ryan. We introduced mm-hmm. the first Obamacare alternative before it became law. So there are plans, but yeah, you're right that we don't spend enough time emphasizing what we're for and why our vision is superior, and that's what we've got to do.
John Hart, editor-in-chief of Opportunity Lives. John, thank you so much for being with us. It's 18 before the top of the hour on Bill.
Suffering from illness or disease?
Frequently in pain?
Overstressed?
Always tired?
The solution is to oxygenate your cells because
disease cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment.
Introducing Vital Ion, the first mineralized edible oxygen in the world. Go to toolsforfreedom.com and get the Miracle of Oxygenation DVD free with any Vital Ion purchase. Call 800-770-8802. That's 800-770-8802. Let Vital Ion edible oxygen be your daily fountain of youth.
From the studio that brought you Heaven is for Real and War Room.
When the Messiah comes, Rome will be nothing!
A faithful retelling of the miracle that changed the world forever.
Already they are proclaiming him risen from death.
Risen. On digital and Blu-ray.
He was very special.
Blu-ray includes bonus making-of featurette, deleted scenes, and more.
His tomb is empty.
the best film about the life of Jesus since The Passion of the Christ, says Patrick Nowakowski, editor-in-chief of Legatus magazine.
What happened to the Nazarene?
Dave Morales of Fox TV Houston calls Risen an uplifting masterpiece.
It's right here. Open your hearts and see.
Risen, rated PG-13. On Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. Available now at Christian retailers.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we don't diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, Bill Martinez Live is offering Clemson University's study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 855-305-8326.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
Easy to work. Up antenna, switch on, press talk button, and you broadcast from room to room and even house to house.
For Spanish, press 2.
Porque todos cuentan en el formulario del censo, especialmente los niños. Así ayudas a que tengamos más cosas en nuestra comunidad, como centros de cuidado, escuelas y más.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, the one and only Cape and all, able to leap tall buildings. I'm telling you, it is an absolute mess. Some days, you know, you just feel like you can. You just can't quite make it. But, hey, I thank you so much for putting up with me. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, America. It's Bill Martinez Live. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. And if you want to be in the running for that movie Risen, which was released yesterday on digital format, going to be released DVD and Blu-ray come May the 24th, but you can have it free. All you got to do is say, hey, Martinez, put me in the running. Send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. We'll hook you up and get you all ready to go. All right. If you are a fan of the Rough and Tumble and Teddy Roosevelt, the one, the only, you're in for a real treat here. We've got Mark Lee Gardner with us. His just released book, Rough Riders, Theodore Roosevelt, His Cowboy Regiment, and The Immortal Charge Up San Juan Hill. Mark, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. I mean, what a great book. I love TR. And, you know, you did such a great job with this. And I know some people are saying, another Teddy Roosevelt book? Why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the thing is that I think that all the qualities that we kind of associate with Roosevelt, you really find with him in, you know, as leader of the Rough Riders. But the reason for this book is that I found letters and primary sources that haven't been available to other historians. So it really helps me kind of give a you are there telling of this momentous event in American history.
Well, here it is. I mean, today he could fly into Cuba. You know, thank you very much, President Barack Obama. Back in those days, a little bit of different program here. You know, we had to drive the Spanish from Cuba, you know, you think Fidel and somebody would send us a thank you card for that.
Oh yeah, well, you know, some of the Rough Riders were actually very upset with Fidel in the 1950s after all the work they had done in 1898.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but as we know, things change, and a long time
later,
now we got, let's talk about this new information that you were able to discover, you know, for this new book, Rough Riders.
Yeah, well, you know, many, just like soldiers in wartime, you write letters home to your family and loved ones, and so the Rough Riders did that, many of them did, but the difference then from now is a proud parent or a sister or an aunt and uncle. They walked down to the local newspaper office and said, hey, I got this letter from my Rough Rider brother or Rough Rider son, and it was published in the local paper. So I found letters in every area these Rough Riders came from, so Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, because today we have this great thing called the Internet, and they've scanned millions of newspaper pages, and it's a very simple process to search these early newspapers and find these wonderful letters that were very descriptive about both Roosevelt and their experiences in Cuba.
Yeah, the thing that was so cool about reading this book is there's no political correctness in it. Shame on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try to do better next time.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, you know, but it's the 21st century. We got to move it up a little bit. But no, it's absolutely refreshing because there's no political correctness. It's just what it is. They were rough for a reason, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it was 1898. It was a different time. You know, you certainly, you know, they call it presentism. You can't put your own morals and values on people from the 1890s. But I also think that they had many, many good qualities. I mean, Roosevelt was really an inspiring figure. His men loved him. One guy said he'd follow him to hell and back. And you know, I think it's an uplifting story. Myself, and also, you know, the aspect of the different, well, for instance, the Buffalo soldiers, the African-American soldiers that fought with the Rough Riders. I mean, when they're in Cuba, even though the army's segregated, those guys are sharing blankets.
Yes.
They're fighting together. I think those moments, to me, are really some of the most interesting.
Yeah, and they weren't fighting over bathrooms, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know this, okay? I mean, this is about getting the job done, no political correctness. Teddy Roosevelt was a man's man, and when you consider, you know, his frail upbringing, and by frail, I mean, he just dealt with a lot of illnesses and that sort of thing. And so on the other side of this adversity as a child growing up, you have this man's man.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, he suffered asthma attacks that were truly terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But he survived that. He built up his body with the encouragement of his father. You know, he took boxing lessons. He was a real supporter of, you know, this term called manliness, which people kind of laugh at now. But, you know, he thought people should experience the outdoors. They should be athletic. And most of all, he felt like if it was a just war, that every American should serve their country. And he was 39 years old, had a family, but he was first in line. He wanted to go and serve his country, and he did.
Well, the thing that is inspiring, in contrast with today, when TR went to war, it was about winning. I mean, there was an objective, it was clear, and this is why the men were excited to follow him, because, you know, as you anecdotally related with the one member who said, hey, I'd go to hell and back with him, because they trusted him, right?
They did, and, you know, you'll probably remember from the book, there were a couple occasions where the commanding general was thinking about retreating or falling back from San Juan Heights,
mm-hmm.
and Roosevelt actually said, I'm not sure whether I'd obey that order or not. I mean... Men died taking that hill, and it would be all for naught if they withdrew. Fortunately, the commanding general thought better, and they did not withdraw. But that's, you're right. That's the kind of man he was. It's like, we took this hill, and we're staying on this hill. We're not going to give it back to the Spaniards.
Well, and the thing is that people need to hold into perspective here. This was a volunteer army. I mean, for these men to follow, and this is before President Roosevelt, this is Teddy Roosevelt, but he was so passionate and such a great leader and could give them a vision that they said, hey, you know what? I'm with you. I'm all in.
Yeah, and the other thing that's surprising to me, you know, today compared to that time, there were literally tens of thousands of men who rushed to enlist and fight in that war. Now, of course, a big rallying cry was remember the Maine. The Maine had exploded in Havana Harbor, and 266 Americans lost their lives. But there were tens of thousands of men who rushed to enlist and to fight and to serve their country.
You know, when you think of Cuba today and what it's gone through, we mentioned, Fidel Castro, the Castro brothers. And, of course, we're trying to make nice. We're setting up a relationship with them again. Ships are starting to land there in Cuba, you know, for commerce and, for vacations and that. What's been lost in translation? As you mentioned earlier that back in the 50s, there were surviving Rough Riders that said, whoa, wait a minute here.
Yeah, well, I think the thing to remember, and that the Spanish-American War is one of our most forgotten wars anyway, but this war, it was not just about the Maine, but many at the time called it a war for humanity. Cubans were fighting for their independence from Spain. It was Cuba Libre. And there was much sympathy in the United States for these independence fighters. And in fact, there were Cubans in the United States lobbying the American government to enter the war, to intervene. And, I mentioned this in the book, but Owen Wister, who was a good friend of Roosevelt, he said, you know, if these atrocities against the Cubans had been happening, you know, thousands of miles away, it might not have been that big a deal, but this was just off our shore.
Yeah, 90 miles
really
away, right?
Ignore it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and so,
go ahead.
Anyway, I mean, this was a war to end these atrocities and to win independence for Cuba.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we knew what happened out of there is that there wasn't enough spirit, you know, to really hold it together. And that's the problem, you know, I often find in reading history, Mark, is that you look back and again, it helps you appreciate just how exceptional. And I know there's some people and some academics that just cringe whenever you line up exceptional with America. But I don't know what else to call it when you think about what our founding fathers did. They put their treasure, they put their lives, their honor, their sacred honor, all on the line for what we enjoy today. And there's so many other countries who've tried to do the same, including Cuba, parts of it that just see us 90 miles away. I mean, they could see that shining light on the hill that Ronald Reagan talked about and saying, why them? Why not us?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think it is forgotten that, you know, Roosevelt, the Rough Riders, and the rest of the Army, and, of course, the Americans in Washington, a lot of Americans died, you know, to bring this freedom to Cuba. And I think that's forgotten. Now, there are a few monuments in Cuba today on San Juan Hill, but we've had a very long relationship with that island, it's a fascinating place. And I hope my book will bring out, you know, our role in Cuba's history. And it's a very significant role at that.
Well, no question. It would be refreshing if academia picked it up because the kids are learning all about these other things, you know, the communist way of life and the oppression, and they make it, they're turning those that did that into heroes, and they're forgetting a hero like T.R.
Yeah, and the thing is that he really was a hero, and I try to make that clear in my book. You know, he was recommended for the Medal of Honor by all his commanding officers. He was denied it at the time for political reasons, and he had upset the Secretary of War, and he finally did get it in 2001. But, yeah, these guys, I mean, I really do consider them heroes, and you know, I consider Roosevelt the biggest hero of them all down there.
And the only president to be the recipient of the Medal of Honor, right?
That's correct. He's the only president to receive the Medal of Honor. He's also the only individual in history to receive both the Medal of Honor and the Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow, amazing. Well, Mark, thank you so much for the book. Remind everybody, we got about 15 seconds left where they can get their hands on it, because they will want to get their hands on Rough Riders.
Yeah, you can get it online or at your local store. I mean, there's HarperCollins.com, there's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, but, you know, it was just released, and I've seen it in bookstores myself already, so I know it's out there.
Well, and you'll see it featured on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Mark Lee Gardner on Bill Martinez. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Vaping enthusiasts, head to VaporPalace.com. Choose from over 150 flavors and a selection of exclusive private stock vapor liquid you won't find anywhere else. New flavors are added every month, and our customer service is unbeatable. VaporPalace.com offers 15% off all vapor liquid on Fridays, and get 10% off every order with coupon code VAPOR10 at checkout. Combine the codes on Fridays for 25% off. The ultimate destination for the vaping enthusiast, VaporPalace.com.